Howdy.
Howdy.
Welcome to Southern Hills. My name is Victor Rosenhuff, and I am one of the student ministers here at Southern Hills. Before we go any further, I want to say thank you to Colin and the worship team. I love that last song, and that song really built my confidence to be able to come up here. So thank you, worship team. That was awesome. I am, of course, not Jared, but if you saw the camp reveal video a few years back, I fooled even his family by putting on a black shirt and a helmet in this picture. So, I'm not Jared, but I am preaching today because it is Senior Sunday. I am so honored, really, that I get to speak words of blessing over this graduating class and the congregation today. When I first started interning at Southern Hills, this group of seniors was in their sixth grade year, and now they are getting ready to transition into college and the rest of their life. I've lived a lot of life with this group of seniors over the past 6 years, and we've spent time with them at camps, retreats, school events, and mission trips, and now I get the utmost pleasure to speak words of life over y'all and them and this church family and the church that helped raise them. I read somewhere that vulnerability is the best way to get people to trust you, and so I just wanted to start by saying the Senior Sunday sermon is a hard one to plan for. I am considered old to our high schoolers and our middle schoolers. Right, yeah, you're laughing. I'm turning 26 this week, so to most of the congregation, I'm considered pretty young. So this is a hard sermon to plan for because I want to speak words of blessing over the seniors, but also how do I attempt to challenge a room that is wiser and more mature and more well-read than me while also attempting to speak words of life over this incredible senior class? What can I bring? Well, what do I encourage students to bring at the beginning of any retreat, or even midweek, etc., camp? I say, not specifically with these words, but be intentional and be vulnerable. Whoa, are those the first points on the note card? That's crazy. Jared doesn't get those out until later on. Yes, they are. These are the first points I'm going to be talking about today. Be intentional and be vulnerable. Here's how I'm going to set up today and Senior Sunday. My points are more like charges that I have learned through experience. Some people can speak from the heart. Some people are incredible storytellers, for instance, Holly Rocca. Some people just have the gift of memorization. And some people speak from experience. And I feel that the things that I am most capable to bring to y'all is from my experience and things that I have experienced. So I'm going to try today to be intentional and be vulnerable with my experience. Something that I think about each week as a youth minister, and I thought about today, is I can't physically mold any of our students' hearts, but I can create, facilitate, nurture environments, settings, and relationships so that a student might experience the wonderful Savior that I know and who knows me. In the same way, I cannot physically or forcibly change any of your hearts today, but I believe that in this space, I can be a vessel to facilitate the experience, or I can bring you an experience that I have already practiced. So I've chosen to start with these 2 points because they are going to echo out beyond everything that I say today. Seniors, church family, be intentional, be vulnerable. I know this is tough, and I know this is way easier said than done, because I am not naturally a vulnerable person. I naturally stand on guard, and I have to do hard work to let my walls down, and I've had to learn how to let my walls down. I do not think that 5 years ago I could have gotten up on this stage or any stage really and just said, hey, I struggle with anxiety. I do not like to talk about anxiety that I feel, and I honestly denied it in myself for years because I thought there's no way I have anxiety, right? Like, yeah, sure, I get stressed and that stress is sometimes overwhelming, and sure, I get scattered when I talk in front of people, but no, I don't have anxiety, right? No way will I ever voice anxiety because I feel like I might be made fun of too. Like that's something that there's such a stigma around. I think I feel this way because I never saw the people around me who were facing anxiety. I never saw them voice how they were facing it. Or even more probable answer for myself is that I never took the time to ask people intentional questions about their anxiety. Vulnerability builds community and blesses all parties involved. It was when I was quick to listen, slow to speak, and intentional that I heard people say, hey, here's my journey with these anxious feelings, and I might not have an answer. But here's where I've been, here's where I'm going, and here's where I hope to go. So vulnerability helps people feel sane in their experience, and I know it did in mine. And so I want to start with vulnerability today because I love this senior class so dearly. I've lived a lot of life with them, and I've noticed even more and more the feelings around graduation aren't all excitement, and they're not all hope. I've seen firsthand the anxiety that students are facing and everything that comes with it. I noticed for like 2 years we slowed down, we learned some valuable lessons about time and value and what's important about relationships, but it feels as if our world is quickly forgetting. And as much as I do absolutely love the fast pace and the things that come with a fast-paced world, I've seen firsthand the anxiety that it has brought on our students and that they're facing. And I wanted to be vulnerable about my anxiety before anything else in order to say this. If you're not a senior sitting in the section, I'm going to talk to the section, but if you're a senior, know that I'm also talking to you. Seniors, you are not crazy. This anxiety you might be experiencing about graduating, becoming an adult, and all of the many things currently out of your control, it is real, it is present, and your parents are feeling it for completely different reasons. Senior parents, you are not crazy. This anxiety you might be experiencing over sending your child off into the real world is scary. It is real. And people around you are experiencing it for different reasons as well. Church family, you are not crazy. This anxiety that you might be experiencing just by living your everyday life in 2024 is real, is present. And if there's one thing that I learned about my experience is that it's much better to confidently face together what we see than to blindly walk through the shadow of the valley of death. So let us be vulnerable and intentional in our experiences and with our experiences. My points are more like charges that I've learned from experience, and I do feel that I can speak from experience, right? So what experiences do I feel that I can bring to y'all today that are relevant, worth it, real, and I can speak about for a while? Because that's the biggest thing for me, I think. Well, I keep bees, and I'm a beekeeper in my spare time, and I could talk about bees and how I see God in bees for days. Avery knows, my wife knows, but I believe that the senior class has heard enough of me talking about bees. Can I get an amen? So when I started planning for Senior Sunday, I thought maybe I could partake in an experience that most likely no one in this room has taken a part of. So I did that to prepare for Senior Sunday. I took part in a new experience, a new way to connect with God in order for one, to practice a new spiritual discipline with the goal of bringing some peace to my anxiety, but also two, to learn and then bring some brand new, hopefully never experienced thoughts. And before I show you experience, I have to explain a little bit or else I'm gonna seem like a crazy person. So I gotta set this up. Has anyone ever heard of the art of being a French clown? Or in other words, maybe it'll help, a clune. Does that help? No, it's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just as I had hoped for, the experience that I partake in today is not French clowning. Don't worry. Or I feel like for some of y'all, I should say, sorry, I did not do French clowning for this. I've been thinking about this idea for a long time that I learned and I noticed in a show. It's a TV show called on FX and Hulu called Baskets, and the premise is that Zach Galifianakis is this character named Chip Baskets, and he goes to French clowning school to become a French clown because the French clown is distinguished. It's not like the clown that you're thinking of. The French clowning is an art. It's an art form. But Chip Baskets, before he can live in France, he gets kicked out of clowning school, French clowning school, because he doesn't speak French. So, I know, yeah, he has to go back home and live with his parents in Bakersfield, California, and he becomes a rodeo clown. But he takes a lot of that back with him, and there's a lot of knowledge and years of history that he takes back with him, and here's a 15-second clip of the show.
Baskets returns January on FX.
So one of the activities that Chip tries to take part in the show, it features a little bit more, but he walks a turtle, is what he calls it, in order to experience the world around him. This seems goofy, but I started to dive into this because it seemed fascinating to me. Some TV shows don't really care But you know how like some really, really do their research? Well, apparently Zach Galifianakis does his research because this is based in 200 years of rich French culture and history. And the ideas from the show that inspired The Walking a Turtle, they first set foot on the streets of Paris in the early 1800s. Be intentional, be vulnerable. And ooh man, if there's one thing that I feel like I can do is intentionally learn a whole lot about an obscure subject. Has anyone ever heard of a word called the flâneur? The flâneur, it comes from flâner in French, which means to stroll. What then is a flâneur? The flâneur, it started out 200 years ago in France, is not a positive word. You know, a lot of our words start that way. For instance, like, oh, that person is sick, or oh, that person, oh, they're a dog. Or even think about calling someone 100 years ago a goat and them taking that as a compliment. That's interesting. This word, flâneur, started out in the 1800s as a late meaning like a lazy bone, a deviant, a loafer, or someone who didn't do much. But I guess the trends in the 1800s took 30 or 40 years because by the 1830s and 40s, this word became an icon of the 18th and 19th century. The meaning behind this is a person who walks the city in order to experience it. A flâneur seeks the streets and the city life, for they provide inspiration and help cure malaise and loneliness of being human. They provide mindfulness, or an article said, conscious dilly-dallying. This word itself became a symbol of the artist and the poet, and it eventually became an icon. On the next slide, it's often depicted as someone who is walking a turtle, and I'll show you more pictures of this later with actual lithographs and business cards, but this is a real concept that was going on 200 years ago. There's no English equivalent for this word. People have translated this as a stroller, a saunter, a drifter, but none of these seem quite right. There's no English equivalent because I think that in America, we don't have a word for a aimless pedestrian without any obligation or sense of urgency. We would call that person crazy. This word also has a deeper level than just someone who walks around. It's someone who is conscious about their time. They are frugal with their time. They waste nothing, including their time, which is spent noticing, paying attention, and practicing mindfulness. So, because I know that you are expecting, almost longing for a different sermon on Senior Sunday, and because I am the youth minister, I decided to do an object lesson, but I couldn't think of a good enough explanation to go up to Jared's office and ask him if I could bring a turtle on stage. So I decided to go out last weekend and film my experience with catching a turtle. Before I get into that, I gotta set it up. I know four families with axolotls, but I could, for some reason, couldn't think of one with a turtle. I ended up going out to my mother's house, and she has a little pond that I've seen turtles at for the past ever. And I put my waders on. You'll see it in a second. I put some dog food in the water, and then I waited to see if I could try to catch a turtle with my pool skimmer. Yeah. Later on, I have a what I learned from this experience, but truly, I did learn from this experience that a turtle is always around until you need one to be. I have seen a million turtles in this pond that I go out in this video, and I think I saw turtle heads popping up throughout the whole day, but guess what? When I needed one, I gained respect for the turtle's intelligence, is what I will say. Before I show you this, it's only 5 minutes, but at some points, it might seem longer than others. And if you start feeling that, just take a look at the bottom left-hand corner, and there's a little clock that's going fast. And know that someone experienced, perhaps, that clock in real time, and maybe without their phone because it was being filmed on the video. So don't worry, I set it to some fun, silent film music. The last thing I'll say before we go to the video is that the catching part took about 4.5 hours, but once I acquired the turtle, I let it lead me on walks as a flâneur would. I chose for the actual turtle walking part of the film to not film the whole experience because it was killing my phone battery, for one. But also, I hope that you can trust, based on the persistence in the beginning of the video that is filmed and sped up, that you can trust that I actually did this activity throughout different places around the town. That would make for a boring video if I did the whole thing. So before, here's my experience about walking a turtle. This 10-second pause in here to say that for everyone who thought that I couldn't do it, for everyone who thought I couldn't catch a turtle, for all the haters out there, this one is for you.
Oh my gosh! How cute!
Thank you. I had not shown them that video yet, so I'm going to probably not look at this section as much anymore, by the way. Just letting everyone know. Seniors, church family, based on my experience, I can truly recommend Walk a Turtle. You do not have to do this with an actual turtle, but it actually might be easier on yourself if you didn't. But please, walk a turtle. Take space in your life to practice mindfulness, to appreciate the walks, and to discover the simple wonders that God hides in a slow pace. I know for those of you who are perfectionists, it does say, and in the last two sentences, it says turtle on the screen, but that was only because the lady at PetSmart said that I would have to keep a turtle, a water turtle, in water, and I didn't want to have to swim with the turtle, so I'm going to use the words turtle and tortoise interchangeably from here on out. Didn't know those are two different things until this weekend, but my experience with walking a turtle had a lot of significance for me. It was a really, really cool thing, and I kept thinking as I went around town and I went around different places around Abilene, there were different psalms and scriptures kept coming to me. It was a weird experience, and I know how it sounds, but it's almost as if the meaning that was triggered by the peaceful and intentional feelings that I was feeling as I was walking the turtle, and it was a cool experience. For instance, one of the scriptures that I thought about was a pretty well-known verse that I'm guessing you know someone with it framed in their kitchen. Jared has talked about it most recently in his Faith of Works series, Faith That Works series about the book of James. He preached a powerful message about James, and specifically James 1:19, which says, "You have knowledge of this, dear friends, but let every person be quick in hearing, slow in words, slow like a turtle to get angry." It was definitely a weird experience, but I learned more than I thought I would. Like every biblical story about trusting God, I think I went in with certain expectations, and you'd think I'd learn by now, right? Like, don't go in with expectations, but I did. I anticipated that I was going to learn patience and slowing down, and I was expecting to come back with an eyewitness account so I could bring it to y'all, and not so that you would not have to go out and purchase your own tortoise. What I noticed walking this turtle was different than I thought. I don't know why I didn't realize that it was ACU's graduation when I went to visit Avery to show her the turtle and then walk the turtle around ACU, or that the city of Abilene would just be completely full, every hotel booked. But the main thing that I noticed was people. And the charge that I want to give you, seniors and church family, is notice people. We noticed Nadine at the beginning of this, and we will notice our graduating seniors at the end. But before we go any further, there's a senior who is graduating and has been a part of our student ministry for 2 years. And I want to notice, say congratulations, and give them a very special gift. They're not going to come up, but I just have this gift for our senior, Oscar Rocha. If you will give him a round of applause. Here you go. Don't open it right now. Just tuck it underneath for now. That'll work. When I was walking around Abilene, I noticed different people. Thankfully, I was blessed with a different experience than I thought. The city that I already knew as an introvert, and as someone, like I said earlier, who struggles with social anxiety, I was like, ooh, yeah, walking a turtle, easy. That'll be so easy. I love to experience nature alone. I'll just go and learn from nature and learn from this turtle. So, of course, when there were people around, my experience was different. I noticed a lot of hope in people as they walked around Abilene. Students in both college and high school were hopeful because there are obvious feelings of excitement there. But when I was walking the turtle around Jacob's Dream, which felt like forever, there was someone within my eyesight that I went to college with and was in several Bible classes with Avery Riker and I. He was there for his master's graduation, but there was a different vibe about his family that I noticed than others. I cannot describe this feeling, but once I describe his situation, I think you will understand the feeling. When we knew his story, and so seeing him that day brought tears to my eyes. I was crying at Jacob's Dream walking a turtle. It brought tears to my eyes because when he was young, he had a brain tumor and he wasn't supposed to make it very long. The surgery stunted his growth. He had other life complications. But it made me cry at Jacob's Dream because he was graduating that day with his master's degree. And what a miracle that is that deserves to be served today. Notice people. Be intentional, be vulnerable. A turtle symbolizes slowing down, wisdom, and exercising patience in situations, and I wouldn't have been able to witness such a powerful moment without the wisdom of a tortoise. James is categorized as wisdom literature, and it often goes hand in hand with Ecclesiastes in the Bible. And the same scripture I shared earlier, be quick in hearing, slow in words, slow to get angry. It can be found in Ecclesiastes 7:9 in a little bit of different words. It says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Ecclesiastes is such a cool book, and I think the way to not become angry is lined out in literally a page earlier in chapter 3. This is one of the other verses that was circling my head during this experience for obvious reasons, but I didn't even see the deeper correlation until later on. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. This was a verse that was circling my brain while I was out catching a turtle. When I was trying to actually catch it, my initial feelings were frustration, of course, and like I should just give up and go buy one from the beginning. But I decided while I was out there, I said, this heat and however long it takes me is just going to be part of it. This pond right in front of me was going to be exactly the same whether I was there trying to catch a turtle or not. So why not experience the beauty in its time? Ecclesiastes 7 says, be slow to anger. And how are we slow to get angry in this life? We recognize that everything is beautiful in its time. When I said to myself, quit trying to control the experience, and instead just started appreciating the beauty that a small pond ecosystem holds, I lost my will for anger and gained a certain peace. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Ecclesiastes 7 says, be slow to anger. And how do we practically do that with people? I think we recognize the eternity that he has set in their hearts. We notice that they are a child of God, and we intentionally look at them with the value and worth that God sees them with. Perhaps you are not gifted with either one of these. Well, I thought the same thing, and don't worry. In my research into what a flaneur is, I believe I thought of a solution. Must a flaneur always explore and experience the city aloof and alone? Or is flânerie is an activity that can be enjoyed in pairs or small groups or even life groups, each person with their own metaphorical turtle? I noticed an answer to this in a lithograph. This is a lithograph featuring two flaneurs as displayed in Les Ridiculous series in 1825. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, and yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Perhaps you are in a season where it is hard to see everything beautiful in its time. Perhaps you are in a season where it is hard to see other people and the eternity in their hearts that this verse calls us to. Or perhaps you might just be scared to wander alone. Flânerie, as described by a historian, was an actual thing, and it was when one or more persons during a certain period of time dropped their relations, their work, their leisure activities, and all of their usual motives of movement and let themselves be drawn by the attraction of the terrain and the encounters that they find there. So what I'm trying to say with this image of the flânerie is this: dive more intentionally and more vulnerably into your relationships. And I know it sounds weird to be drawn to the attractions of the terrain, like I just said, but if the rocks cry out, then so will I. And I really want to see some singing rocks in my lifetime. Singing rocks leads me perfectly to my last point that I learned through this experience, which is pursue childlike faith. Seniors, church family, pursue childlike faith. Guys, I know firsthand walking a turtle around town was silly, and I realize that. And seniors and church family, I want to encourage you today, through my experience, to pursue the things that will help you grow in childlike faith. Seniors, you are going to a new place where you feel pressure to grow, that you might feel pressure to grow up, and grow up by all means. Romans 12:11 says, be not slow in your work, but be quick in spirit as the Lord's servants. But I want to challenge you today to pursue childlike faith and as an outlet to grow. Childlike faith is hard. And I don't want to sound too over the top, but I genuinely am seriously in awe of the things that God has shown me this week just by attempting an act of faith. I feel like I can preach a whole other sermon about how God has shown up in my life this week, and it is really, really cool. I have felt stressed at multiple times this week, preparing for this lesson, preparing for Senior Sunday. There's a lot of details, a lot of pictures, etc. But I can truly and genuinely say that as I felt points of stress this week, as we all do, my anxiety in general was truly lessened. Seniors, church family, pursue childlike faith. The faith of a mustard seed will move mountains. I want to challenge you, church family and seniors, this week to ask yourself, seniors, how can you pursue childlike faith on campus or at your jobs or even in the summer? Church, how can you pursue childlike faith in your everyday life? What does that look like? You do not need to necessarily walk a turtle. Here are children on what we now call business cards, or for a Vaseline company and the other for milk chocolate in the 1900s. This is an easy picture if you need help, but you do not have to walk a turtle necessarily. An author in Paris, sometime before 1875, was said to take his lobster Theobald out on walks through the Paris gardens. He said, "Why should a lobster be any more ridiculous than a dog or a cat or a gazelle or a lion or any other animal that one chooses to take for a walk? I have a liking for lobsters. They are peaceful, serious creatures, and they don't bark." Find your turtle. Find your lobster, your gazelle. For me, that's bees. I brought the sermon back to bees. Just saying. Just kidding. But to practice this, you just need to think what it would be like, or imagine what it would be like, if you're actively holding a leash with a turtle. I do this when I visit Avery, whose office is at the bottom of the campus center, in the middle of the campus at ACU. I park all the way at the Hunter Welcome Center, which is a decent walk. And I know that I could get a parking pass, but I have come to really appreciate this walk and value it, because it gives me a second in my day to slow down. It gives me a second to take a deep breath, spend a few seconds to listening instead of being quick to speak. So church family, my final charge is this. Pursue childlike faith, which starts with finding meaning in the mundane as a child would. Today, however, is not mundane. Today, we have the incredible privilege to celebrate and honor these absolutely amazing students. We're going to head into a time of senior blessing, and I'm going to call the students up one by one so that we can speak a word of blessing and prayer over them.